Everybody clap your hands. Yes, hello, come on back in. It is time once again to listen to your favorite podcast. Your favorite podcast is back. It is time once again for Less Than Jay's. Your favorite podcast. We are here once again after a couple weeks off of celebration and love and big wonderful moments to get back to talking about this horrible team that we hate so much. The agonizing crawl that has been the 2023 season has been exactly itself in the time away we spent. It's been what a miserable experience cheering for this 2023 Blue Jays team is. Like, truly, truly and deeply. Last time we spoke, it was the trade deadline. The Blue Jays have already cut the guy that they traded for. So that's great. We're jumping from our, like, the Paul DeJong is obviously an upgrade conversation straight into he doesn't play on the team anymore. Bo Bichette is back. But the highs have been mid, and the lows have been awfully low in the times in between. We're recording this right now. It is 10:26 p.m. on Thursday. They are, I think, one out away from losing the series to the Baltimore Orioles, which felt spiritually. The ninth inning of a loss to the Orioles feels spiritually like where we should pick back up in terms of how things are going lately.
That's our time to shine, baby. Just like what? Watching Vlad swing helplessly at Felix Bautista's fastballs is about as on the nose, I think, for our show in 2023 as you're going to get. Just waving at them. Oh. No, this game's not quite over yet. I won't do that the whole time, I promise.
I know. Listen, if they pull it out, maybe they pull it out and they change our moods, and that's what I can hope for.
Oh, no chance.
I mean, there's a chance. There's a chance, Jake.
There's very little chance. Anyway.
Even with the win, the fact remains, as we record this, and basically I think no matter what happens here, not in a playoff spot as we speak, which to me is like unfathomable, to be frank. This is one of those things, like, they can obviously still save the season by getting into the playoffs and by having a great run and all of those things. And I'm not sitting here saying that those things aren't possible, and they lost. Thank you. I'm not saying it's not possible for them to have, like, a sneak into the playoffs and do well thing. I'm not saying that that's not possible. I'm not writing off the whole season. But what I am saying is, a week left in August to be out of the playoffs looking in at this point is, like, it's so impossibly infuriating and like, it's driven me insane. It's actually driven me completely insane. The fact of the matter is, like, it just, there's things people say, like, oh, they're right on where they were last year. It's like, pardon me for them hoping to have improved. I wanted them to be better. I don't want to go through the – every year I don't want to go through the, okay, well, they're in the same spot as they were before when they went on the unbelievable run in September. And they're still good enough to be playing, like, well above 500. It's an unbelievably frustrating year. I can't remember being this – day in, day out, just like blown away at the frustration of a team that is seemingly, ostensibly, playing record-wise and raw numbers-wise, except against runners in scoring position, a pretty good team by all accounts. They're pitching their asses off. It's the best pitching staff we've had in forever. It's the best pitching staff in baseball by a huge margin. Even with the Manoah step back, they're by far the best pitching team in the league. I can't believe it. I never experienced anything about it. Sorry for rambling off the top, Jake, but this team has fractured me deeply.
Yeah, no, I think it's completely fair. I mean,
I'm broken.
A month ago, a little less than a month ago, on July 29th, the Jays had just won 6-1 against the Los Angeles Angels. They'd taken 2 of 3 from the Dodgers. Trade deadline was coming up. They were 4.5 games out of first place in the East. Cut to a month later, And the trade deadline has passed. They've cut the guy they added, as you said. And they're 9.5 games out of first place in the AL East. And they still have played above 500 ball this month, which feels basically impossible. barely, to be fair. They're like 11-9,
yes,
I think, in August. But yeah, they are... They're certainly a special group. The fact that they could miss the playoffs is, I think, even in our cynical hearts, when we did our worst case, best case, off the top in March, I guess, at the beginning of the year, I don't know if I envisioned, like, even as a worst case, being out of the playoffs in August. It felt like the floor. I mean, I say, as you point out, they're still like 12 games above 500, on pace for like 89 wins,
which is like I think we said was pretty close to, like, we talked about best case, worst case. I think we said like 80. The thing is, even the floor was like an 85 win team, right? Correct?
I think you're right. But I'm glad you made the point of people saying, oh, well, they're right where they were the last 2 years. Like, this is year 7 of Atkins and Shapiro. This is now year 3 of the win now window. Like, I'm not saying that it's like a failure yet. If they miss the playoffs, it certainly is. But like in year 3 of the window and year 7 of the project, you gotta have more expectation than, or not, there was more expectation, I guess, but like you have to have more results than the same as the last 2 years and argue that as a positive. Like, that seems crazy to me, especially now that there's 3 wildcard spots. Like, it's not even making the argument of a few years ago of, oh, well, they're only a game and a half out of the playoffs when, you know, 4-5 teams made the playoffs. There's a sixth now. Like, it's hard to make any arguments. If they miss the playoffs, it's hard to make any arguments that they didn't make their own bed to get there, as much as any sports team can. Maybe not the pitching, as you said, which has been fantastic.
Maybe not the pitching.
Well, definitely not the
pitching.
Definitely not the pitching. But like it's hard to know exactly where to place the blame, because there's a lot of options and there's a lot of different facets of it, I think. You know, obviously we have spoken a lot about sort of the plan for this year and its flaws from the front office. That's obviously easy to blame. I think, you know, I've said many times that a few years of half measures caught up to them in a win now window. Obviously, you can look to Vlad, who's just been abysmal in the last month. Which, like, it's getting to the point now where you gotta be like what is he really? Like, what kind of contract, what kind of player are we really looking at with Vlad now? Because he's been mid a lot longer than he's been excellent now in his career. You can look to, I mean, basically everything except the pitching and like Bo and Brandon Belt.
Right. So this is a lot to unpack there. And I think I agree that this is part of what makes this so frustrating for me, is like, I'm like, it doesn't really seem to me that I can blame the front office even all that much, because like the big things that they had to put together, the task that they had to put together here, was the bullpen and the rotation, and they've been stunningly phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like 80% of the time. It's been the only reason they have any wins at all. And then you want to say, well, the problem is, it's the problem is like, oh, it's depth was the thing that they sort of lacked. But the other side of it is, like, depth is the only reason they have any wins at all as well on offense. The fact that they've had they've had Jansen hit some clutch hits, and they've had really great defensive catching, and they've gotten, you know, Belt has been the guy they got was Belt has been very good. Like, they've sort of, because of the depth, they've been able to weather the more they play, the more that comes into my frame is, like, just gross underperformance from their most important players. Unfortunately, I can't see any other way to look at this. That Vlad's, it's been too much discussion. I almost, like, can't even deal with any more, like, talking about what's wrong with Vlad and trying to figure out the what's wrong with Vlad thing. It's like, it's just exhausting. Like, just hit line drives on fastballs. Like, I don't. it's driven me absolutely nuts. But there's been, you know, the real issue, which is, like, one of those things where, like, we fought so long, I feel like, in the analytics wars to not reduce the game to runners in scoring position, right? Like, we just, like, right. And yet, it's the only fucking metric that they are not very, very good in, basically. With, like, every other situation, they're a top five, top 10 offense in every statistical category except for home runs, where they're middle of the pack. But with runners in scoring position, they've been abysmal, and the worst defenders of that this year have been Springer and Chapman, and they have been up in a ton of enormous spots. Even Vlad has been, like, pretty good with runners in scoring position. They've had these really important pieces of the lineup that have just gotten nothing, and then there's been a really weird up and down in the back half of the lineup. They've been trying to sort of piece that together, and I guess that is where you point the depth, but I don't know that any depth that any fourth outfielder is covering up for all the Chapman and Springer and Vlad at-bats. I don't think that there's... It's almost not fair to point to that spot, or our greed mismanagement of the 13th offensive player role, which I think we've been steady on, and they haven't addressed. Even that, it's like the difference that would make in two or three games versus 60 or 70 times that combined between Springer and Chapman and some of the other important bats in this lineup when they go ice cold. I just can't believe it. I just, like, that's what's been so frustrating. And there's been a great wave of analysis, especially as they play the Orioles, where it was like the Orioles overall numbers are painting that they're, like, sort of a middling team, except with runners in scoring position where they've been dominant. And it's so weird for us to consider them this dominant team that's way better than the Jays. But, like, they're winning the games, and the Jays aren't. The Orioles are, like, 32 games over 500. So if the Jays were 32 games over 500, I would care less about the underlying, like, the outlying things. And baseball's a crazy game. This can all change in a month and a half. But where we are right now versus where they should be, it's just, like, it's really hard to not be remarkably frustrated by it. I think it's been an unbelievable year in terms of what's gone right and what's gone wrong.
Yeah, I think
hard to fathom.
I think your point regarding sort of it's hard to blame the front office, even though if you've ever listened to this show before, I am obviously quick to do so. I still think that they deserve a healthy amount of the blame. Sure. But you are right that in sort of making the arguments or not even the arguments, just the observations of fact of what's happened this year, you know, it kind of contradicts blaming the front office for it.
Yeah.
Because as we said, like, the floor is this 85, 86 wins. And, like, if that's the floor, that means the roster is talented enough to exceed that. And, you know, you can't fault them for thinking that Vlad, who is supposed to be your talisman, is, like, you can't, like, there's no way you're like, they should have traded him last year. Like, that's not an argument. It's not a thing, because no one could think he'd be this bad. Like, over the last 28 days, Dalton Varsho is out OPSing Vlad by almost 300 points.
Dalton Varsho is probably going to lead the team in home runs this year.
Dalton Varsho for the last month has been outstanding, frankly.
This keeps happening. People have their whipping boys, and I have at your bachelor party weekend, it was Kevin Biggio was the whipping boy, and I was like, he's been way better than Vlad for the last little bit. Like,
it's true. Not
particularly close.
And Varsho now has been, I would say, as much as I haven't enjoyed him this year, he's been good now for long enough, for like a month and a bit, where it's like maybe he's figured it out. Whereas Vlad is, it's just first pitch hacking.
I'm begging something to turn around, but I'm getting very worried about it.
I'm
officially very worried about Vlad.
I said in our show day tweet today that I had a take. So here is my take, and I don't think it's what you are thinking it's going to be. I was thinking about this the other day, and I think that I've talked myself into this being true. And it comes with a massive if caveat.
Perfect.
So the if caveat is if the Blue Jays make the playoffs, I think they could legitimately win the World Series.
I agree.
Because, as you've said, the pitching is so good. And we have seen so many teams in our lives that make the playoffs, and the pitching is just lights out. And it's just kind of like, I think about, someone made a point on Twitter in one of our talking ball conversations a couple weeks ago that were maybe 2016 Cleveland. If you remember that Cleveland ALCS against the Jays, that was like Cleveland's offense wasn't particularly good outside of Francisco Lindor. Their bullpen was just unhittable. Andrew Miller, you couldn't even touch him. And, their big clutch home run in the World Series was hit by Rajai Davis.
The Royals the year before as well, by the way.
Right. That wasn't a lights out offensive team. And so I've come around now to the fact that, undeniably, the pitching is very good to outstanding on this team right now. The bullpen front to back is loaded. Despite all of our misgivings about the pen for the last few years, the bullpen right now is unbelievable. Even guys who I don't still fully trust have been excellent. The starters have been great now that Manoah's refused to report to Buffalo.
It's probably fine.
Get ready for, get ready for the first day the Jays season is over. The Shai Davidi piece about Alec Manoah's bad attitude to prep everyone for him getting traded. Because that's coming.
Wow, that's a prediction.
That's coming. That's coming. You think that he's been walking around Yorkville the last 2 weeks because they were doing medical tests? Come on.
I don't know what the hell's going on.
What's going on. He refused to report to Buffalo.
Okay, so where... I don't want to be too critical of the media, but because it's a lot of our friends. But is anybody out there said anything about if this is normal or if there's another example of this happening with another pitcher anywhere?
I would say this really inside strange, man. Inside sources for less than Jays. My mom saw him walking around Yorkville last week.
I don't understand, but I'm not very smart. So maybe there's a smart baseball person that will jump in and be like, this happens all the time. I don't remember this.
I've never seen this happen that I can recall. I think he's getting traded in the offseason for sure.
So I'll say this, Jake. Back to your amount of blame the front office takes or doesn't take. This is another in a string of these moments this year, this Manoah thing, that there's been a little bit of a peak where I've sort of been like, are we sure these guys know what the fuck's going on? Are we really sure that... Not in a roster construction way, not in a building the fringes way, in the way that they're handling some of these guys and some of this stuff. I think about Pearson, who was the number one prospect in baseball. I think about the whole handling of the Anthony Bass thing. There's a couple things and the rumored fallout of that, right? And how guys were upset with sort of both sides of it, about the way they did and didn't handle it. The things that it said about the very weird way that all went down. There's been a two or three little the David Schneider getting called up and then never played. The sort of the weird things seem to be going well in the service and the team building, but then every so often sort of the way things are being handled on the fringes seems really strange. And it's one of those things, like you're saying, you're predicting here, is this one of those things where, like, we get the story after the season that there was quite a bit of discontent going on? I think about the Raptors, right, and how we sort of waved away for like 2 years. Everybody just waved away any negative report about the Raptors, and then at the end it was like, oh yeah, no, this was like a complete fucking mess for the last 18 months. I wonder if, I don't know if that's true or not. The Manoah thing is one of a number of things this year that has made me sort of sniff around of like, I don't know, man.
I mean, something, I think it's pretty weird. I think it's pretty clear that,
I don't know. I have no real clue. I have no real clue what's going on there. That they say he's the first guy they're going to call on when they need somebody.
Sort but of. Like, Schneider said there. Schneider caveated that with, but there are others, which was like, the thing that jumped out at me in that quote.
So I guess in the meantime he should be doing nothing so that he's fresh. Like, I don't really.
Well, today they said he's reporting and that he's been undergoing medical tests for the last 10 days, which seems odd to me, but what do I know? Truly, I don't know, but it's odd. Yes, we don't know.
Speaking of quotes from John Schneider, on the importance of the next stretch of 15 games against sub-500 teams, there's no time to wait at all. We got to do it right fucking now. So 2 weeks of games against unimportant teams, that should feel good. That should get us back on the, like, team of destiny. And listen, I agree. I know you mentioned it earlier, but I do agree that, like, the recipe is there for the – this is what – part of what was made it so frustrating and part of what makes a lot of the talking and watching this team so frustrating is, like, it's not that I don't believe they're good. I think that's something that is getting confused in the conversation here.
Yeah.
Of, like, it's not that I don't think they're good enough to win the World Series. It's that I do think they're good enough to win the World Series, and I do think right. they're good. That's what's so annoying.
I'd also pull out the stats
that they're like top 10 in everything. And I was like, yeah, the fact that they're top 10 in everything is what makes this suck so bad.
Yeah.
If they were top 10 in everything and hitting a runner's scoring position, obviously I'd have no complaints. I'd be fucking thrilled. If they had the best pitching and they were hitting well in runner's scoring position, they'd be up so far. They'd be so far ahead.
And I think, you know, I sort of made a point earlier about how they've made their own bed kind of thing. And to Schneider's point of the next 15 games, depending on how generous you want to be to the Red Sox, for the rest of the season, the Blue Jays have 10 games against good teams. They go, the rest of the season is Cleveland, Washington, Colorado, Oakland, Kansas City, 4 against Texas, Boston, Yankees, 3 against Tampa, Yankees, 3 against Tampa. If you have that schedule remaining and you can't win enough games to gain 3 games in the playoff hunt, you probably don't deserve to be there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of bad teams.
This is their last stretch. It's the last stretch of these. And all year long, this has been the story, right? They look.
But it's not even usually that last stretch is because the Red Sox and Yankees are usually competitive.
Well, right after that, it's, yeah, but good points.
Usually that last stretch is competitive games, and except for, you know, your former Baltimores. But now it's like, it's the trash of the Central, some bad NL teams, Oakland on the road, and the Rangers. Like, it's not, you know, there's 34 games left. My mistake, 33 games left. 33 games left. If they can't win 22, 23 of those, like, what are we doing here?
They're 70 and 58. And I'm glad you bring up the standings. I'm glad you bring up the next couple games. Because it's gotten to watching road games every night sort of level. I am happy to announce that despite the initial frustrations about the losing the playoff spot to the Mariners and how much of a additional head spin that was for me, in the situation, I am happy to announce that I've moved on my thinking that the Mariners are going to easily win the AL West, so it almost doesn't matter. It's now about the Rangers and Astros as being frauds. That's the real focus nowadays. The Rangers is the real. Rangers looking good all year and then collapsing down the stretch, and the Blue Jays easily getting a wild card spot is the new preferred way forward. Just thought you all should know.
Agreed. You also made a prediction weeks ago that the Jays were going to limp into the wild card and then lose the Rangers in the ALDS. Instead of that, how does four mid-September must-win games against the Rangers feel instead?
It feels better. I feel good about them being better than the Rangers. I really do. I really do. It would be hilarious, I guess, to have the Marcus Semien in those big spots. But I just believe they're better. This is again, what makes it so frustrating is I believe they're better than almost all these teams. So it's going to be tense. It's tense every night. It's been like four straight months of just like brain-meltingly tense games. There's been, there may be double-digit games that have just been chill. Brutal. What a brutal, gnarly season. Holy jeez.
I will say this, and perhaps this, not even perhaps, this will absolutely come back to bite me. much prefer the upcoming stretch of tense nightmare games against your Washingtons and your Kansas Cities compared to your Baltimores. And I'm sure I'm going to eat those words within the next 14 days. But, man, I'm just looking. I can't stop looking at the schedule now. If they can't do this with the schedule, then it's.
Yeah, if they, it's so exactly bad. Right. They're not in the playoffs right now, and to me, that's insane. But if they can't get in there with who they're about to play, then I'm officially declaring it a bad team, unfortunately.
Yeah. Like, three at home against Cleveland, three at home against Washington are the next six. So
Cleveland series is going to be fucking death. That's something about. Something about it. just something about it.
It's okay. Well, the fans are playing to give Vlad a standing ovation on Friday.
That rocks. That's going to work. I believe it. Yeah, I thought I saw a good thing today that three of the top five in Fangraphs WAR on the Jays offense are free agents coming up this year.
Oh.
Chapman, Belt, and Kiermaier. With Bichette and Merrifield is at the top five.
Hilarious that if you had said to me in March, like, which of those guys are you desperate to bring back? I'd be like, oh, Belt and Kiermaier for sure.
Can't lose Belt and Kiermaier. Are you serious?
Right? Matt Chapman, anyway, whatever.
I thought for a second, Jake, I legitimately did think for a second on your Bachelor Party weekend that they had solved it with David Schneider.
I thought so too. And then he wasn't allowed to play anymore.
They went and they got a vibes guy when they needed him, and he's perfect. And he has a higher WAR than Vladdy.
Here's a question that I was wondering today. The whole thing with David Schneider was, as we discussed, like, oh, they solved it. And like, obviously, we've seen him hit enough to know he's not like the savior, but he does have like five home runs in 2 weeks, which is a lot more than most of these other guys. Now that Bo and Kiermaier and Jansen are back, kind of weird that they haven't put David Schneider in the lineup with all the other good hitters, right?
It's been strange. Listen, they're valuing defense above all else. That's been made clear.
Sure, sure. But like, that feels weird to me. Doesn't Merrifield in, although I guess now that Varsho's playing well, it is hard to find the spot. But
I mean, it is what it is. You would think you could cycle him in, but they did. They had a bit of a hot run from Biggio there, and they had a bit. And Chapman being out, I don't think they thought that Schneider could play third, I think was the story. And then
that's what I mean. Now that Chapman, now that they're all back, it seems odd to me that Schneider's still not playing.
This is weird to me too. When he saved the season for a couple days there.
He really did. There was a minute there where I truly believed.
Oh my goodness. Anything else? I feel like we got a lot out there.
No, I think that's I mean that's it, right? It's hell, and it's going to continue to be so until they're dead or they're not.
The worst part is, again, like to your point, the worst part is I believe they can win the World Series. That's what makes it so hard.
They just have to get in.
That's what's made it so agonizing, because there's a belief that the World Series winning team has to be just a joy to watch all year long. And I guess that's just not true.
No.
Here's hoping, because Jesus, if they miss the playoffs, it's going to be Meltdown City. It's going to be.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be one of those things, Jake, where there's going to be the devil on your one shoulder that secretly, when you're watching this team lose and you're swearing and you're loser texting, you're going to say, part of me wants them to miss the playoffs.
100%. What do you mean, a part of me?
Actually be.
Yeah, absolutely.
it would actually be funny if they missed the playoffs, and I lost it. It'd actually be funny if it like severely upset me for a couple weeks.
The thing that's nice about them, if they make the playoffs, is it's all kind after this season, it's all kind of house money. Like,
sure,
they get swept by the Twins. It's like, well, of course they're bad. They've been bad all year. What do you expect? They go on a run, a dream. It's like they just got to get in. I'll be mad either way, but like they just got to get in.
I'm glad to know that you're here right now in this mental state. I think you picked up a bit of it. You picked up a bit of my, the worse they play, the more I believe they're going to win the World Series.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Because at this point, what else could possibly be the karmic payoff for this entire year? The only karmic payoff would be 4 weeks at the very end where they hit with runners in scoring position, no problem.
The other side of that coin is that the whole season is the karmic payoff for just signing assholes.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. The last two seasons have come down to basically one single defining play that perfectly sums up what was wrong with the team all season long. So
that's very true.
Great. Great. And I feel great. No, I'm very frustrated. Very frustrated. And yet, we'll watch them basically every day for the next 2 months, God willing. Okay. That's it, Jake. That was great. We had a lot to talk about as well in the middle here because we had a beautiful wedding and just a great time. So I'm excited to get into that after this.
Baseball, get out of here. It's time to get off topic. Baseball, get out of here. It's time to get off topic.
Okay, we've reached the end of the show. A spicy one, eventful one, a big one. Felt really good to get through it. Again, Blue Jays lose to Baltimore, but now it's smooth sailing for the next 15 games. That seems
for sure.
Like, that seems likely, downright likely. As always, we put the call out on Twitter for questions, and we got a handful, and I'm very excited about it. We could start off with Jay's Retro, a good friend of mine, asking us, why did I feel so comfortable about the Jays playoff spot for so long? Was I dumb, ugly, or both? Well, you're certainly not ugly, Jay's Retro, I'll tell you that much. We'll knock these off one at a time. You're not ugly, and that also eliminates both. So the only one that leaves is dumb, unfortunately, of the three options you're giving me. There's no reason for them not to be in a playoff spot right now, as we touched on earlier.
That is correct. That is absolutely correct.
It's absurd. It drives me nuts. And as I said...
If you want to give the front office some grace of the idea that, like, there's no way they could have seen Vlad being this bad and Manoah being this bad, which is true, then you have to also give yourself some grace that there's no way you could have seen them not being in a playoff spot on August 24th.
It's crazy. It's crazy. At the very worst, you would have thought, if we flashed back and we were able to leave ourselves a message at the beginning of the season and been like, hey guys, week left in August, they had the best pitching staff in baseball. Where do you think they are?
Yeah,
You'd be like leading the East by 5 games, probably?
If you told me 15 at the beginning
up
of this,
on the third wild card?
At the beginning of this season, you and I said, wouldn't it be nice if they finally had a season where they were just good the whole way through?
I'm still saying that.
If you were to tell me the stats for the team this year, then I'd be like, oh, it happened.
They did
and
it.
And yet, brutal.
Really brutal. So yeah, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. It's impossible that the team could be not in a playoff spot on August 24th. Again, still very salvageable year, but like at this spot in this space, blows my mind. It's truly unconscionable. Not even in the realm of like what I thought was a reasonable outcome for this season. And again, it's not an outcome. It's not final, but it's driving me nuts. YJ, here's a perfectly appropriate question based on what you were up to the last 2 weekends. I have a wedding this weekend, says YJ's. The only suit I own is from my grade 12 prom. I haven't worn it in 12 years. I'm 30. Should I go with no backup plan and just wear it? Shout out to you for fitting into your grade 12 prom suit. Shout out to you for finding a way to go your entire 20s without having to wear a suit to a wedding. I don't know if that's downright impressive or if it's indicative of the company you keep. I would definitely try it on. I'll tell you this. I was a groomsman in Jake's wedding two weeks ago, and I wore a suit that I got at Marshall's. Off the rack at Marshall's. My mother-in-law hemmed the pants, and we were good to go. We looked fucking fantastic all night. So you don't need to go get the... And listen, by the sounds of it, if you're still fitting into your grade 12 prom suit size, you're probably a fairly thin, wiry guy. It should be easy to find a suit off the rack that looks good on you for like $100. Go vintage shopping also. Go to a vintage store. That's my other... Get a vintage suit. That would look cool.
Yeah, I'm going to say definitely try it on. Don't go with no backup plan.
Mm-hmm.
But I will also say that full suit's not the end-all be-all for wedding attire.
Mm.
Mix it up. Get creative.
Wear
a suit. Wear a button-up shirt with different pants.
Oh, man. Peter at your wedding was wearing a t-shirt, a turtle, like a
full
a
yacht
mock
rock.
Turtle.
Full yacht rock Peter look. Great look.
He was wearing a mock turtleneck t-shirt, cotton, under his suit. Looked incredible. Looked truly incredible in that suit.
Not a surprise that one of the undershirt. Hits of the wedding was Peter.
Undershirt was stunning. Really, really good. Paul Adam, here's a good question. If you could have an extra 30 days of 1 month in a year, which month would you want 30 more days of?
I'm going to go... I think I might go April.
I was going to say May.
So yeah, April and May.
Pick spring.
I feel like I'd go... I mean, it's either spring or fall, because summer and winter are bullshit. One's too hot, one's too cold. It's no good all around.
I think I would like to have the spring kind. Here's the thing. The temperatures, basically for me, it's like September, October versus March, April. Or pardon me, April, May here. And I think the way that the same, like 15 degrees in April and 15 degrees in October feel different. You know what I mean?
Yes. Very true.
I want the spring kind of warm and cold more than I want the fall kind of warm and cold.
Yes. However, 30 days more in October means it's longer to get to winter.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. I think another month of like appreciating that it's nice out. You know what I mean? We're like, oh man, 22 today. That's beautiful.
First day without jackets. Yeah.
I think you get some inclement weather, but you're almost like, oh, we needed it. It's so nice out. And then occasionally we'd get quite cold. But it would be the spring kind of cold. We're like, this isn't so bad.
Yeah, I like that. I think
you're like,
right.
We defeated you, winter. It's over. Pack your shit.
You'll never be back again.
It's over forever. Get the fuck out.
It wasn't this cold last year.
Right?
Yes, it was.
Well, I'm saying May. I think May's right. You get May basketball.
I think May is right. Baseball's still full of possibilities, and the cynicism hasn't set in yet.
You can still believe whatever you want. You can start looking at how the team is lined up, what they need. It's beautiful. I like
May. Start thinking about transactions already in May if you want.
That's good eating. Prairie Jays ask us, has a team only one game out of the playoffs ever felt this hopeless?
I don't see. That's the thing. I don't think they feel hopeless. I think they feel joyless. And I think those are different things.
It feels agonizing to watch.
They're no fun. It's not fun. But as we said earlier, they're not hopeless. It's just like there's no identity and no real personality, and they're not really fun. They're just kind of going through it till it's over. But, you know, lots of fraud teams have done that and won lots of playoff games. So
I feel like I'm enjoying your come around here to the world of maybe this is exactly what it has to be.
They just got to get in. They just got to get in.
I think it's beautiful that they've beaten that out of you. They've
100%.
They've beaten the anger out of you. You might even be at a similar point where I get to sometimes where I'm like, well, what's the point of even watching these shitty regular season games anyway? Give me September when they are either in it or they aren't. And killing myself in August is pointless.
Yeah, without question, they beat it out of me. Just get in and we'll see. I hate it. Like, I hate that as a strategy.
But that might be the game right now.
But it might, but I think it's where we're at.
And man, if they do get in, they have that bullpen where it's like it turns into a five-inning game. And you're like,
and all of a sudden, either Ryu or Bassett or Kikuchi is in the pen. Boy, oh boy. Just get in. Just get in.
Just get in. We'll see you guys next week. Well, you'll hear us next week. Pretty exciting. As we said, the Blue Jays on to a cushier part of the schedule. It is Cleveland, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. A little matinee on the weekend. And then the Washington Nationals, the lowly Nats, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Out to Colorado to face the Rockies, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That is the next week plus. And then it's Athletics on the road, Royals, and Rangers. We never forget, September 11th, back at the Rogers Center. That is quite a juicy stretch to get you to the Rangers, and who knows where they are in the battle with the Rangers at that point. That is, it's not so bad. That's not so bad. You better be some wins. If there's not some wins, we're going to be, once again, very upset, and probably on Thursday when we talk again. Anyway, that's it for another week. Thank you so much, as always, for sticking with us and being a part of the show. We appreciate you. We love you. Have a great week. Talk to you soon. Thank you so much for being a part of Less Than Jays.